Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are talking about quite a few new comments from Elon Musk. He has been replying to CNBC, which is a relatively rare occurrence. We'll talk about that. Also got an update out of China, a new lawsuit against Tesla, an update from SpaceX, and a couple other items. All right, I don't know if anyone wants to look at the stock, but we're going to take a look at the stock. Tesla down 7% today to $764.04. The NASDAQ down 2.6%. Nothing really new here that we haven't spent a lot of time talking about already. From Tesla's perspective, there were a lot of articles today about that water supply court hearing. Like we said yesterday, all stuff there that we've talked about for a long time. Nothing new, just more attention on it. As for the share price right now, I mean, $764, it's pretty obviously sitting below 75 times 2022 GAAP earnings per share. I mean, we can run through some math on that in tomorrow's episode if you guys want, but the lower and longer this goes, the stupider it's going to look in hindsight. But again, that doesn't mean that it's going to correct tomorrow or next week or next month. The market can be really stupid for a really long period of time. We don't have to travel too far to see that. I mean, just look at Tesla in 2019 trading at like 2x sales at the low. The important thing to keep in mind is that Tesla fundamentally is doing extremely well as they've ever been doing. Go back and listen to the Q4 earnings call. Go back and listen to my takeaways. The growth trajectory is very clear, even with some of these macro headwinds, concerns around Giga Berlin and all the noise that we're in right now. All of a sudden, all the negatives seem to become extremely visible and all the positives fade away. But despite all the noise, Tesla's going into work every single day, just like they always have, continuing to grow as fast as they can. And eventually that growth is going to win out. All right, let's get into the news. Then we've got quite a few updates here from Elon actually replying to CNBC, which doesn't happen very often. Looks like over the last day or so, though, he has sent them a couple of emails at least. I think what happened here is they kind of successfully baited Elon in because they, I believe, communicated to him that they had heard from White House officials that there was a lot of hesitancy to involve Elon Musk in any sort of industry events or anything like that because of concern that Elon would say something that could embarrass the president or the administration. I mean, that's understandable to have that concern, I think. Apparently, when they told Elon this, he replied with, as they say it, two roll on the floor laughing emojis. So I can only guess at this, obviously, but my guess is that that's kind of what drew Elon in, and then he ended up elaborating a little bit more after kind of laughing at that initial information from CNBC. He eventually ended up commenting in a little bit more detail on that, saying, quote, they have nothing to worry about. I would do the right thing, end quote. I think people that follow Elon closely understand that, but if you're only seeing him on Twitter, then maybe a little bit less apparent. Anyway, somehow Elon ended up addressing sort of the tension that exists between the Biden administration and Tesla and Elon. He said, quote, the notion of a feud is not quite right. Biden has pointedly ignored Tesla at every turn and falsely stated to the public that GM leads the electric car industry, when in fact Tesla produced over 300,000 electric vehicles last quarter and GM produced 26, end quote. Elon notes that it got to the point, hilariously he says, where no one in the administration was even allowed to say the word Tesla. That was a rumor we had talked about, not necessarily confirmed, but he says that the public outrage and media pressure about that statement forced him to admit that Tesla does in fact lead the EV industry. I wouldn't exactly call that praise. Elon then added, quote, I have nothing against Biden otherwise, apart from general concern about more deficit spending, which would apply to any president, and actively supported the Obama-Biden election, end quote. So this is one issue that Elon discussed with CNBC. There's another coming in a second, but the White House did also comment on this. A White House spokesperson told CNBC that Tesla has done extraordinary things for electric vehicles, and that's a big part of why the industry now knows EVs are the future. But they did also have to just be a little bit passive-aggressive in there too, saying that Tesla also benefited greatly from past EV tax credits, but unfortunately their CEO has suggested an opposition to new EV tax credits. Now that not so subtly frames it as though Tesla was able to benefit from EV credits, and now that Tesla was able to benefit, they don't want anyone else to be able to have what they had. But that obviously ignores the fact that everyone can get the same exact number of EV credits that Tesla was able to get. There are plenty of EVs on the market right now that get a $7,500 federal tax credit, while Tesla currently gets nothing. So disappointing to see it framed that way, but also not surprising. All right, moving on from the White House stuff, Elon did also comment to CNBC on another story we've talked about, the Department of Justice investigation of some short sellers. And this also leads into the back and forth with the SEC that we have been talking about. So on the short sellers, Elon described how he views the problem as, quote, too often, sophisticated hedge funds have used short selling and complex derivatives to take advantage of small investors. They will short a company, conduct a negative publicity campaign to drive the stock price down temporarily, and cash out. Then do it all over again many times. The term for this, as you may be aware, is short and distort, end quote. So well summarized by Elon there, and that really is just scratching the surface of what some short sellers have done or been accused of doing. Again, referencing back to that Fairfax Financial case that I alluded to when we brought this topic up originally. Anyway, Elon, of course, happy to see some action being taken here, saying, quote, "I'm greatly encouraged by the Justice Department investigating short sellers. This is something the SEC should have done, but curiously did not," end quote. There's been a little bit of criticism for Elon on this point because the Department of Justice investigates criminal charges, the SEC for civil charges. But really, that just dilutes the point that even so, the SEC should have been looking at this stuff. And again, we don't know all the behind the scenes. Maybe they were opting to just work together with the DOJ instead. We're not going to have all that information. So anyway, all of this, as well as all the stuff we talked about, the SEC back and forth yesterday, this all kind of leads into a couple of tweets from Elon today. He replied to a tweet that was pondering, what if Elon Musk and Tesla have been baiting the SEC for years, building their case, and now they have enough evidence to go public with it all? First, Elon said, building a case is exactly what I've been doing. Somebody else replied that starting a fight with the SEC is not a great look. And Elon, not pulling any punches, says, I didn't start the fight, but I will finish it. Whew. All right, well, if things weren't interesting enough already, they certainly are now. It'll be very interesting to see what comes out of this, what we learn about this case that Elon has apparently been building. The letter to the court yesterday that we had talked about that accused the SEC of leaking information was isolated on an incident that had happened after February 19th. So that language in the letter on that piece specifically didn't seem to be some larger case. But of course, Tesla in those letters held the broader belief that the SEC was targeting Elon Musk and Tesla. So we'll see what comes of this. Obviously, Elon, a big believer in standing up for himself, standing up for what he believes is right. I think he's always hated that he had to reach that settlement agreement and would have preferred to take it all the way through court. But as Tesla noted in that original letter, that would have been detrimental for the business and raising capital, which was very important at that period of time. So I'd echo similar comments to what I said yesterday. I'm glad to see that Tesla is sticking up for themselves if they believe they've got a good case here. Hopefully it is. But as I said yesterday, anytime there's this sort of back and forth with the regulator, I do think that that creates a bit of an overhang as certain investors just don't want to take on that risk. Now, long term, that's not going to be hopefully important depending on what the outcome would be, but I do think it's something that should be acknowledged. All right, moving on from that, next we've got an update on Giga Shanghai. Reuters today reporting per a government document that Tesla has filed plans to expand parts production at Giga Shanghai. As we've seen before, exact numbers were redacted from the document, but apparently there were plans for additional production workshops, increased number of workers, and expanded time in operation. So that all sounds good, but we also can't miss the operative word there of parts production. Sounds like this would be for parts for service rather than more vehicles, which actually might be even more exciting for some people than more vehicles. Could also allow Tesla to make a little bit more safety stock in case they had a part shortage. That additional inventory could help prevent downtime, but my guess is these would be parts that Tesla wouldn't really have any trouble with as a constraint anyway, so probably mostly for service, and as it says there, this would be to meet growing export demand, so service in other areas. All right, next up, we've got another lawsuit against Tesla. We're not going to spend a ton of time on this. These are always a little bit tricky because I certainly don't want to be glossing over anything, but at the same time, Tesla is a huge organization. They're going to have lawsuits against them, especially when a jury awards a $137 million award to a plaintiff. Obviously, that's pending appeal, but that's going to draw out more lawsuits. Furthermore, when we first hear of the lawsuit, that is being announced generally by the plaintiff, and they have their opportunity to have their say. And we don't actually really get to hear from Tesla, hear their side of the story, unless it's something a little bit bigger that draws out a comment from Tesla like we saw with the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing. So all that being said, in this case, this is from a former Tesla construction manager who's filing the lawsuit on the basis of being fired for reporting widespread safety violations, as well as experiencing racial discrimination at Tesla. All right, next we'll shift over from Tesla to SpaceX for a minute. We had previously talked about how SpaceX had sent some engineers to Fiji with the goal of helping restore connectivity for Tonga in the wake of course, that devastating volcanic eruption and tsunami. Sounds like that has been progressing relatively well. Looks like there is some connectivity now established with Starlink. Tonga's prime minister today said that there are 50 terminals that will be provided by SpaceX free of charge, distributed to the outerlying islands, which, aside from Starlink, are still disconnected. And it's a little bit confusing because there were also reports today that Tonga's internet has finally been restored as the undersea cable has been repaired. So then it's like, okay, well, what is SpaceX there for? Well, there are two cables. My understanding is that the main one for the main island has been repaired, so that's working, but the other one for the outer islands has not been repaired yet. So that's where Starlink seems to be coming in and helping with a quicker solution for those areas. All right, last item for today then, just wanted to make a correction on a portion of yesterday's video. So we had talked about the Moss Landing situation where some batteries had melted. An operation of some batteries was on hold while that was investigated. Turns out that was not Tesla, so I do apologize for that. The Moss Landing situation is kind of confusing. There are a lot of different energy projects all in that same area. And of course, both articles I read on this had photos of Tesla's megapacks from Moss Landing as well. So as you can see here, quite a few energy projects in that space. The one we talked about yesterday was Vistra's. I was assuming that Vistra was a third party that Tesla was working with there, and that is not the case. This is a separate project, so I do apologize for my confusion on that, and thank you to some listeners that helped point me in the correct direction on that topic. All right, I think that just about wraps it up for today. I will add one note on Sharelof. We did just push a new update, so if you are in the beta, I know it's just a few of you, but a lot of big improvements here on formatting, a lot of backend stuff that's not visible as well. But making really good progress. It'll still be a little bit of time, but definitely another step towards further opening that up. And obviously, if you're not on the waitlist yet, you should do that at sharelof.com. But as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, February 24th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.